With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The legends are going on tour, and again, there's a silver lining. Dublin, February 27th, 2014. Olympic Theatre Dublin, Jamie Carragher and Diddy Herman. Their Champions League story. Robbie Fowler, Steve McManaman and Jason McAteer. Norway, 26th and 27th of March, 2014. In Oslo and Bergen. All the details online, fivetimes.co. Tickets already selling fast. Don't be the one to miss out. Fivetimes.co.
Hello and welcome to our podcast, LiverpoolFiveTimes.co.uk. Everything else, I'm fucking lost again.
You've got to put that in.
See how that's five, you know, the FiveTimes.co and all that. Yeah. With me not being into all that kind of stuff, it's like, I don't know what they're talking about here, you know. Take two. Well, here we are in the Hilton Hotel in downtown Liverpool for our podcast. I'm with John Aldridge and Alan Kennedy, and we're here to chat about the week's events, and there have been a lot of very good events in the week. Can I just start off, lads, by saying it was a former players' party, Christmas party, and I, unfortunately, I've not been too well. I've got a little bit of prostate cancer problems and all sorts. So I wasn't able to go, but I gather, from what I've heard anyway, it was a good night, boys, eh?
It was a good night, to be fair, Saint. All the lads turned out in force, and it was lovely, apart from yourself. We did miss you.
We had a couple of drinks for you, Saint.
What, on my tab, was it?
Oh, no, but it was a real good night, good entertainment, and Jan, being the chairman, said a nice few words about everybody and told everybody to listen to the podcast. So we're here today, and hopefully it's going to be a good week for us. Well, it has been a good week, hasn't it?
So far, so good, yeah. It's been terrific, hasn't it, John?
Oh, dear me. You never seen that scoreline coming. Yeah. You know, when I seen the team that we put out, with all due respects, I just thought we were a little bit small. I look at the physicality of Tottenham and the quality of the players on paper, and I just worried a little bit, you know, because we have been conceding off set plays, and I thought we might have been, overpowered. But what a great surprise! Yeah. They were absolutely brilliant from the first minute. They got the ball down, hardly anyone forced errors like we have them against Everton or Hull. Just kept the ball for fun, outplayed them all over the park. It was brilliant.
I mean, I was like you. I'm sitting at home expecting, and this is a dodgy fixture for us, you know. Yes. If we get a draw out of it, yeah, it'd be good. And I mean, as bad as they were, and I would not take anything away from Liverpool, what you're saying is right, John. We played a brand of football that was like the old days. It was Liverpool dominating and playing the football that we all grew up playing.
Yeah.
Pass and move and dominating the game.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. It was a great formation. Everybody knew what they were doing. Suarez, again, we talk about this guy, and I just had a journalist onto me about half an hour ago asking about Kenny Dalglish as well. Is he as good as Kenny Dalglish? And you have to say Suarez is like, he's just on fire at the moment. Yeah. Missed the first five games of the season, and he's just, everything goes through him. And he's playing, you know, everybody's playing to their strengths. And I thought we just, that's the
we're
best.
We've seen a special player out, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think, you know, I haven't done the podcast for the last month or so, and, you know, when he scored four at home the other week against Norwich, I've seen some great forwards, you know, the Saints included at Anfield, and Roger Hunt and Rushy and Cole, you know, Fowler, Owen. That was a masterclass.
Yeah.
That was just unbelievable. And he's just, every game, I'm looking at him, and only that he's done what he'd done in the summer, If he hadn't done that, we'd have been saying, well, he's up there now with Kenny and Stevie.
Yeah.
All right.
Because he's just something else. I just can't believe what I'm seeing at the moment. Teams are terrified of him.
His vision is just incredible because, like, you saw him, you know, and people criticise the goalkeeper. I think Ruddy was the goalkeeper. Criticise him. How can they, from 40 yards, how can you criticise a goalkeeper? It was a fantastic shot. And give credit to that. And then I remember a couple of minutes later, he was going to have another go.
Yeah.
He was going to pull the trigger again, and he thought, oh, no, he'll be aware of this, like, you know. But you can't underestimate, you know, the difference between Liverpool at the moment and what the beginning of the season. Mm. You know, when we were without him, like, you know. And no disrespect to Daniel Sturridge, but at the moment, like, you know, you see him, where can he fit in? That's the thing at the moment, like, well, because, like, the team is playing so well.
At the weekend, we're thinking, well, Steven's not playing. Yeah. Well, that's a big deal for us. And then you think, well, Sturridge is not playing either. And the SAS has been working lovely.
Yeah.
Suarez, Sturridge. He's not playing, so that's going to be a bit of a blow for us. Well, you've got to say, none of them were missed. And you're talking about Steven Gerrard, who's been our best player for how many years?
Yeah.
And Sturridge in the goals at the moment.
Yeah.
Not missed. I thought, I'm looking at a different Liverpool here. Are we going to say that Brendan Rodgers has now got himself a way of playing, players all fitting in and playing a style of football that we admire and as a style of football that gets goals because we're banging goals in, John, aren't we?
The last three games, look at the amount of goals we've scored just from after the Hull debacle.
What happened at Hull, nobody knows.
Nobody knows
because we were at Hull, we were like Tottenham were the other day, weren't we?
Yeah.
Useless.
Absolutely, yeah.
We looked useless.
Yeah. And then he's got the reaction, whatever he's done on the training ground and in the dressing room, he's got the reaction of the players. He's got 9 points out of nine.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you can't ask no more than that when you do. We all know you do it sometimes. We've had it, the game that sticks in my mind, we got beat by West Ham 4-1 in the League Cup in 1988-89 season. I couldn't believe it. But that was a turning point for us, because after that we just went on a great run, you know. Uh-huh. And sometimes it happens. But the main thing is we've got ourselves right back in the fray.
Yeah,
you know, we're drawn off, you know, and what you said, right, about Steve Gerrard, you know, we all worry when Steve's not in the team, but it's like going down to 10 men a little bit. I think all the others have gone, like, they've got to prove, like, we're just not a one-man side
here.
And we're missing our inspiration. Let's put a little bit more into it. And on Sunday they seem to do that without him. It was a great surprise. Fantastic.
The contrast, John, you and I were at the whole game, weren't we, and we were tearing our hair out at half time, weren't we? We were absolutely fuming that every person in the team didn't seem to be there. They weren't at the races. And then when you see the other side of it, they comes to Anfield. The last games at Anfield have been fantastic, playing well, good football. And what I'm really been impressed with is John Flanagan.
Oh yeah,
I think
absolutely.
He's been at left back. You know, you look at left backs, you think, well, is he comfortable? He's a right sided player, right back, but playing left back, he's been honestly a revelation.
Yeah.
I think he's been
absolutely.
His goal at the weekend was, again, like the attacking fullbacks like yourself, Chrissy Lawler, Phil Neal.
Just
a fullback in there, banging one in off on the side of the bar. And I thought, son, how did you arrive in there? You know, here's a kid who's just feeling his way in the team.
Yeah.
And he must be getting told, hey, you get on. Like we were all told,
but
the defenders were told, look, if you're in a move, stay with the move until it's all over.
That's right.
And they did that, and they all picked up goals.
Yeah.
And the kid gets in there and goes back, and he smashes it in. I mean,
great finish, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
You'd be delighted with that yourself as a striker.
You wouldn't you?
It was just the way he got over his technique and kept it down, when normally it would go over the stand, you know. It's just a great finish. And to be fair, he nearly got a second one in the last minute when Moses just blasted it across. If you just picked him out. He was right in there in the 6 yard box. I thought, fair play to him. But he can actually be, and you know, I look at his attitude, and I've been watching him for the under-18s and under-21s, and you can see what he's got, this rawness and the talent and 100% personality, like very, very similar to Carragher when he was the same age. I think this, like, can save the club a fortune in going out and looking for a full-back, whether it's right-back or left-back.
I mean, just a second, they're talking about possible loans. Well, that'll be out the window now. There'll be no, they won't be thinking about sending them out on loan will they?
He's in the squad for good now. Yeah.
We've got Andrea Wisdom out on loan. Right. Flanagan, me, offers so much at this moment in time. I remember watching him a couple of years ago. I went over to Ireland and saw the game, and I thought he looked a little bit lightweight. He wasn't playing right back. And then I couldn't believe when Brendan announced that he's going to play left back.
Because he was right footed player, yeah.
I thought, what's he going to do here? He can't play him there. But he has done. And you know what? He looks more comfortable. Do you remember the old players like Mick Mills?
Oh, yeah.
You know, who played like right footed left backs, yeah. Trevor Cherry, yeah. People like yeah, that. Yeah. That's what he's become. He's become a right footed left back. And he looks comfortable. He can cross the ball with his left foot, and I tell you what, he looks fantastic. And I was talking to him yesterday. He came to a Christmas Carol concert. And,
were you singing again?
Wasn't singing. No, I couldn't. I'm not the best at it. That's one thing I fail at. Okay, singing is not my
blatant racism, that is it.
Yeah. So, but you know, he just looks and feels confident about the whole thing. He wants the next game to come around now.
Yeah. Well, nothing fazes him. And what's the I tell you what, at the derby, we had two players who stood out for me. Mignolet, some of the saves he pulled off.
Yeah, yeah.
And young Flanagan.
Yeah.
He had every goal Everton scored, he was not a part of it.
No.
I actually gave him man of the match on Radio City. I just thought he was brilliant. He was followed. He didn't put one pass wrong.
No.
And that's what his passing's come on, leaps and bounds. Do you go back a couple of years ago, Blackburn, when he made that mistake, and you know, it all went belly up. And he was put in obscurity then. He put into ice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, that's obviously made him a stronger character mentally. Yeah. A lot of lesser players can fall away when that happens to them. Yeah. Younger players.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They've been in the team. They go, you don't see him again. But this lad's made that, or helped that make him become a better player mentally.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's gone away. He's thought about it. He's worked on his game. He stays behind every session, which I love to hear. He stays away, which I always love to hear about that, when they do it off their own bat. And I don't want to get carried away too much, but I think we all know Carra's finished now, and Stevie we all want to see a local talent within the side.
Yeah.
And I just hope, you know, so much that this is the lad that's going to be with us for the next 10 years or so.
He's certainly shown at the moment, John, the improvement, and that's what you want to see, isn't it, with a young player? Is he improving? And from his early stages, you've got to look at him now and say he's grown into it. He's certainly improving.
What I want to see as well is a steady back four. The player coming in there, right, left back or whatever, but the steady back four. That's where you build from, for me. You know,
no chopping and changing.
They've done well. They've not conceded a goal. They didn't. I mean, I don't think Tottenham had a shot at goal, if I remember rightly, which was a great testament to the players. But not just like the back four, but the midfield as well, because they worked hard. Joe Allen's, Lucas was back to form as well, which you want every week. That'd be the standard now. It's got to be the standard. Because
Joe Allen had his best game for us, I thought.
Joe Allen, very, very good. Jordan Henderson as well. What a player. I'm glad he scored. He looks full of confidence. Mm. He was voted the man of the match a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, you can see, God, the lad is so much brighter, so much, you know, he wants to play in every game now. And that's great.
Yeah.
I can't believe, honestly, how much Jordan Henderson has come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we were doing the podcast from early in the season, and I just felt that he was at a club that was too big for him. I thought he looked to me like he couldn't embrace being a Liverpool player. And he was on the field and really not making any sort of impact at all. And I thought, well, son, I think you'll need to go back to a Sunderland or wherever else you came from and just, you know, play at that level. But gradually, and people always come up and say, Henderson's doing well, isn't he?
Yeah.
And you think, I'm saying, well, I didn't think it was any good, but I have to take my hat off to him. And now, at the weekend there, some of the passes he was making, like a good midfield player would do, pick the ball up, have a look, and ping a ball, like Stevie Gerrard, say.
Yeah.
And he was hitting a couple of balls like that, and I thought, Well, what have you added to your game, son? This is fantastic.
Yeah.
And we all know he can run around, but you've got to run around with some purpose.
Yeah.
Well, he was running now behind defenders,
yeah,
attacking from midfield, which we know is brilliant if you've got midfield players that can get up there, get behind defenders. And he was doing that as well. And funnily enough, his first goal, the goal he scored, he should have scored when he went through. And I thought, oh no, he's done it again. He's a one-on-one with a goalkeeper, which he's had a few times, John.
Yeah, he has.
And I thought, oh no, again, son. You know, he hit the goalie with it. But he stayed with the move and stayed. And then, bang, when it came back.
Nice finish.
Yeah,
another great technical finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, we've been looking at Jordan now for a year or two. And he's all of a sudden got belief in himself, and maybe because the manager has belief in him, he's played him every game. You know, he's took it on board because he's got a great engine, and all great sides seem to have a player with a great engine, don't they? And you need one.
Yeah.
But what he did on Sunday, he played him in behind Suarez, didn't he? And that gave him the license to do what you say, to get forward, run beyond, run into corners, and he was a nuisance. He was an absolute nuisance for Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah.
But like you say, with a purpose, you know, there was an end product. He's done brilliant.
Do you now think the test is going to be like, you know, we're playing Chelsea, we're playing Man City, or is the test Cardiff? You know, that, like, you know, do we, you know, we're thinking now, like, you know, we're second in the league and, like, we're 2 points behind the top team.
I think the next game is always the test, and that's what we were brought up to believe, weren't we? You know, the next game, you know, after 9 points out of 9, you know, you can't take your foot off the gas. You've got to keep it going, and the form that Suarez is in,
no
one can live with him. It's just frightening, you know.
Yeah.
Do you think young Sterling comes into that category of a lad who has been given his chance, looked a wee bit out of his depth, did better at the weekend, took his goal nicely. Do you think maybe, you know, we can look for a little bit more from him?
I think he's got to look a little bit more from himself. Uh-huh. He proved on Sunday, first off, you know, when they had 11 men, you know, the true potential that he has. He turned the fullback. He twisted him into knots. He didn't know whether to twist the bust, did he?
Yeah.
You know, he could rope them off in the end. He just couldn't handle him.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been looking at for the last 3 years, from when he was a 15-year-old kid. You know, he's got to come to fruition. He's got to come to age, maturity, and hopefully this is the start of it, because Brendan stuck with him. Over the last few games, which he's been in and out, and he hasn't been great. He hasn't been bad. But the first half, again, that was his best performance for Liverpool in the first half, for the first 45 minutes.
Yeah, well, I think without a doubt as well. I think it's the quality of the service as well. I think when he gets in those wide positions, he's got to... He's got to pick somebody out. Pick somebody out, yeah, definitely. Because, like, hey, you've got the pace, and then all of a sudden the quality wasn't quite there. But I tell you what, he was looking up, having a little look up, and you know, he was getting behind the fullback, getting in, and getting the crosses in. Brilliant.
Do you know what else he does? And the manager's played him a fullback a couple of times, a wing back.
Yeah.
He tucks right back in. He gets back now. He doesn't switch off when he loses the ball. He works back and he gets himself. And he's got a bit of strength there. A couple of times he held off a few big players there.
Yeah.
Back then, he won himself a foul. He got out of tricky situations.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that he's got to keep on doing, you know, because he only looks a slight lad. But I think, you know, he's doing something in the gym with his lower body strength or his core or whatever. Because you could see he's a little bit of strength in there.
What the players have set now is standards, haven't they?
Mm.
The standard is they can go to Tottenham and beat them 5-0, okay? And they deserved it, right? That's the standard they've got to set now. Whether it's home, away, everybody's got to be up for it. If they're not, then they might just fall behind a little bit. But for me, it was a fantastic performance. But it's the build-up of it. It's the build-up. Now, we're going through, what my class is a difficult period with Chelsea and Manchester City, but who's to say we can't go then and get results out of it?
Yeah.
You know, that's the key to it now. You've got to.
Well, I watched Chelsea last night.
Yeah.
Losing, okay, apparently shootout up in Sunderland, who are not the best team in the world. But I'll tell you what, I looked at Chelsea and I thought, they don't frighten me. They don't frighten me at all. I think that he's got so many players, too many players.
Yeah.
He hasn't got a settled team, doesn't know what his team is. You know, they've got strikers there that, I mean, Torres didn't get a game last night.
No.
But you've got Bard and you've... I don't think that Chelsea are a team that we should be, you know, worried about. We've seen a lot better Chelsea teams.
Our record is not bad there. Our record's pretty of late is pretty good at Stamford Bridge. But you're right, what you're saying, like, you know, Sunderland, lots of energy, lots of, you know, trying to work out.
Yeah.
Won the game, like, you know, absolutely tremendous, like, you know. And in any competition, you want to win the game.
Yeah.
That was a quarter final, like, you know.
They won the cup.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, the team he put out, you know, it was still a strong side.
Yeah.
You know, and I watched the game, and, you know, Barini came on. And,
oh, Barini, what are we going to do with Barini?
He came on and he made a massive difference.
He did,
to be
yeah.
fair, he
yeah.
added life and he scored a goal, you know, which was at an acute angle, and he was involved in the winner later on. And you know, I thought he
makes a nuisance.
He might be
himself,
worth 6 million now.
Yeah.
He might be.
No, but
he's on loan, isn't he? I mean,
to be fair, he's not one that's got to come again, Andy, because he showed last night a few occasions in the game, you know, a bit of quality. And I thought, it was good, really good. Now, all joking apart, I was really pleasing to see him score, you know, and enjoying his game, because, you know, one way or another, he's got to come back and join us, or we've got to get money for him, haven't we?
Yeah.
So it was great, and I wasn't too displeased to see Chelsea go out, to be quite honest. I quite like the northeastern team, so
it's a nice way of putting it, John. Displeased. Well, you know, we're talking about young players there and how well we think they're doing. What about Joe Allen then? Young Joe, who was bought really as, you know, Brendan Broughton was a key player.
He was
a key player
at the time. We've seen what he did for Swansea for a couple of years. Now, I have to say, the first 2 months Joe Allen came to Liverpool, we were going through a difficult period. He was our best player since.
Yes.
He was excellent for 2 months. Yeah. Then you know, he got injured, and then things haven't happened since. He's a good player. I don't care what anyone says. He's lost a little bit of confidence, and I think he is a confidence player. Mm-hmm. Against Everton, he came on, he'd done all right till he missed that chance. And then Brendan stuck with him because he knows he's had to. He's bought him £16 million. And I think the last two games, I think he's done really well. And I think he can become an invaluable member of the squad. I really do, you know, because you don't lose what he had overnight, you know, when he was at Swansea, when he first came to the club. He just had to regenerate himself and get him back on track, and he seems to have done that now.
Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, you know, coming to the club, like, you know, it can weigh heavily. And sometimes if you don't perform at Liverpool, like, you know, you may not be able to perform anywhere. But the first 2 months, as John said, he was terrific, like, you know, and won man of the matches many times.
Yes, he did.
And then all of a sudden, John said, and he's had this hamstring injury. Maybe that's been affecting him a little bit. Shoulder injury as well. So maybe that's just affected him a little bit. It hasn't been giving him the movement that he wanted, like, you know. But he is an integral part of that midfield. I like the way he just picks up things. He starts things. And he's one. I remember, was it Notts County? He got in the box about three times, but he missed opportunities, like, you know. And then when you get the opportunity against Everton, you think, well, he's going to score. Misses it. Confidence-wise, he's lost a little bit, but he's come back absolutely fantastic, and so he's complimenting the rest of them. He's keeping everything going.
I just think what he needs to do, Saints. I think, you know, yeah. Whilst he has been getting into the 18-yard box, and he's had a couple of good long-range shots, he's still got to find a way of scoring goals, because he is a deep player like Lucas. Lucas is never going to get forward. He's the one that stays all the time. So when he does get into them positions, he's got to add the goals.
We need the odd goal from him. You and I haven't played up the front. We've missed chances like that. But being centre forwards, you go over it, because there'll be another one coming up next week. But he's maybe thinking, oh, man, I've missed that chance, and you know, and you start worrying about when will the next chance come? It might not be for 6 months. So you're right enough. He's got to think, I'm going to get a goal here, and I'm going to get in that box again. He has been the focal point of the team, where defend the back four, give it to him, and then he gives it to them. But he's got to add that little bit that Henderson is doing at the moment. That wee bit extra. He knows that Lucas is behind him.
Yeah.
Don't worry too much about that.
Yeah.
Have a little dart into the box and get in the position he got into at Everton, where he's only got the goalkeeper to beat, whatever, slide it in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that. Now, we're getting to that our midfield, which we've discussed. What about the back four, lads? Are we I mean, where's Daniel Agger going? Is he going to be coming back into it? Is you know, we're saying Flanagan will play one side, Johnson play the other side, and you've got the two centre backs.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he can't go to Napoli on loan. They've already got Pepe Reina on loan. You know, if we want to, young players want to go now, you've got to get the money in for them and get some younger players, some good players. You know, I seen that this morning. I thought, oh, I've only made an inquiry, but. You know, there's no way. I think he's paper talk. But I do agree with you know, Alan. You know, I got a part. I think we have got to really, or the manager has got to try and get us some sort of a settled formation in the back with players. You know, with personnel. And I don't know what's happened with Daniel Agger. Maybe he had a bit of a fallout with the manager down the line.
There must be something.
Something's gone on.
Must be something like that, because you speak to any fan. All the Liverpool fans go, Daniel Agger would be in the team, wouldn't he? Because he is a big favourite. Yeah. He's a polished player, accomplished player. Yeah. Comes out with the ball, our style, come out, use it, you know, play, go again. But not having him, well, you know, we've got Big Skirtle who... Now, Big Skirtle scores at the weekend, nearly scored a couple.
We
can do both.
Yeah,
he's versatile.
I think you're right, Ian. I think you're right, though. We've got to we've got to sort out the back four. Mignolet, John. Sometimes you might be thinking, who's going to attack the ball? Who's not going to attack the ball? I think our biggest problem is sometimes.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Set pieces, you know, we're not strong enough in the air. We've conceded quite a few from set pieces.
I'm not happy about that,
and maybe that's why he fancies Sacco, you know, in there, maybe because he's probably a better defender. I don't know, but you've got to get a balance to you've got the whole thing. Like,
I think he's done well. He's just got to get used to the pace and the physicality of the Premier League. I like what I see of him. Yeah. I think he can be, you know. And what I do like is there's times when he's under pressure a little bit, but he doesn't faze him. He just settles it down and he doesn't panic. And he'll bring it out and he'll pass it. And I think, oh, I like that. He's done it a few times at tournament in the first half. I like that. But, you know, the sooner the manager gets to grips with whichever pairing that he wants, the better. You know, the better for the goalkeeper, because you know you work as a unit. It's like me and you playing up front, Saints. Yeah. You get to know each other and you work off each other. And we know Skirtle and Agger have developed that partnership.
Yeah.
But, you know, now he's got Sacco in and wherever Torre comes in, they have to start knowing each other's game, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm never too confident when the goalkeeper's getting the ball at their feet. I'm not. I just panic. I look at this. I'd say, oh, no, just please, you know, find a red jersey. But, you know. I think that more and more the goalkeepers think they're outfield players, and some of them, and I know that we had Tommy Lawrence was a good outfield player, and Ray Clements was a brilliant outfield player, could have played, and Brucey, liked to dribble at the corner flag. but when you get a goalkeeper and you think, no, he's not in that bracket, you know, and you're going, just kick it.
But it's funny saying, I've done a little piece in my article in the Echo this week. Now, I don't know if you'll agree with me. Sometimes when we keep the ball, it's great, but when teams push on us, you know, to try and get us to play the goal back to the goalkeeper, like you say, because you know that he's not quite right at the moment, so he presses and presses. Now, the back four pushes up. I think now, rather than put ourselves under pressure, And it's not negative. Why doesn't one of the midfield just all of a sudden just
turn it into the corner,
and when Suarez knows that's going to happen, or Sturridge, whoever, you bend the run, all of a sudden they're in trouble. Because
yes.
They're pushing to put us under pressure. Now we're in their half, in their third, asking them questions rather than put ourselves under pressure and giving them a throw in or hitting the ball and they're picking up the second pieces. I just think that's something that's so obvious for us to try and start to do. I know it mightn't be the Brendan Rodgers way, but it's a positive way.
Sure it is.
And you're only helping them out. And once Suarez gets to know all Sturridge, what's going to happen? You bend your run, you're in business. Because they're pushed right up, and I got onto it on Sunday, and I thought, I wish we'd start doing that, you know, and stop putting our hearts in our mouths when it goes back to Mignolet, you know. I don't know what your opinion is, a little early ball
just dinked over the top into the spaces behind. And if you boys are alert enough, and we've got Suarez is obviously alert enough to make a little dart in there. John, you're quite right, and it just changes, takes all the pressure off the back four, and bang, it's in behind them. You're quite right. We'll have a look at that at the weekend.
It's all right playing your football in the right place, okay? And okay, do you remember a season and a half ago? You remember when Liverpool played Manchester City, and Skrtel all of a sudden turned round and gave the ball to Tevez scored. Okay.
That's the sort of situation I'm on about.
That's
now.
Right, yeah. Sometimes we know it as lump it. You know, it's got to go. I'm sorry, but it's got to go. It's better in that area than sometimes at your feet. If you're trying to play football all the time, you can't do it. You've got to look at yourself and think, well, this is going to go along. And sometimes it does. You're right, John. Changing the whole situation, like, you know.
That's a different question, yeah.
You know, as former players, we know when we've got the ball at the back and we know, oh, we're comfortable here, knock it, we're comfortable. We also know, aye, and you get a feeling. Oh. You think, the
squeaky bum.
And you just know there's a bad pass coming up, don't you? Yes, yes. And that's when you're going, lump it. Don't look for another pass.
Yeah,
just lump it. Yeah. And we get that sensation. And you go. And when that happens, well, it just says... maybe it's an old-fashioned thing, but it's the right thing, isn't it?
But it's safer down there. Yeah. It is safer down in their area than it is. It's great if you can play and you've got the ability to do it. Sometimes you have got to realise it's got to go. Sometimes,
it goes back to the goalkeeper who inevitably always lumps it anyway. He's only at the halfway line. Where you can get beyond them
unless he starts looking sideways again. Go on, no. Let's just quickly have another Suarez little debate here. It was in the paper I noticed this morning that Liverpool wanted to talk about new contracts. Now, as we know now, this kid is probably one of the best players in the world football. You know, now would you worry at all about them? Whatever he gets, just get him. On a contract.
He's the type of player, so he could be on a couple of hundred quid a week, he could be on a couple of hundred grand a week. What you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. He's got the hunger and the desire, what old fashioned players like ourselves always, and the pride. In his performance and the pride in his goals. That wouldn't be a problem. I think Liverpool have to, it's an insurance policy. I think they've got to be seen to do it first and foremost politically, that they're trying to keep the player at the club for a longer time than his 2 years, expose him. So I think it's a really good move personally, whether he signs it or not, with a clause or without a clause. I think he probably would. If there's a clause in there, if we don't get enough Champions League, then he can, you know, he can move. But if we do get the Champions League, then he stays. I think it can work both ways. I think it can really work in our favour, in his favour, that if he all of a sudden doubles his wages or whatever. But the fact we know we get a top four, he's with us next year, we can actually build rather than the teams getting destructed on what we have.
Do our American owners understand that? Because they have a philosophy back in America when they run their baseball teams about the age of players and the wages of players and this, that and the other, which I don't quite understand. But we are maybe different in this country. We look at the player and the value of the player towards as a team, and you think we must keep him. You know, and never mind his age, never mind the monies you're going to give him, whatever. Movie said, he gets top bat money to keep him.
Yes.
Now, Ian, when Suarez has been compared with Kenny Dalglish,
Ronaldo, Messi,
compared with great, great players of world football, you've got to keep him. You've got to try and build, as John said, build around this type of player.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose him to whoever it might be, whether it's 100 million or whatever it might be. You've got to try and keep these players. Okay, you might have to go, let's say, over the top with the money side of it, but if we have any pretension, somebody asked me this morning, do you think we can win the league? At the moment, we can win the league. That's the thing. Yeah. So you don't want to be losing that type of player who gives you more than most players. Like, you know, you don't want to be losing those players. So for me, give him, okay, what he wants. Okay, if he wants to be with a top team, make Liverpool a top team. Get better players and build round that. Build
that's
round that person.
About. That's right.
You know,
I mean, you're making a point here. As well as give him the incentive to stay financially.
Yeah.
We should also be giving them incentive to stay by saying, and here is another good player that you'll be playing with.
Yeah.
You know, and whether it's at the end of the season or come the January window, whatever. I believe we still need another big-name player.
Yeah, we do.
The problem we have, it all goes back to the Champions League, you know, being in the Champions League, and that's why it's important.
Yeah.
You know, peripheral, if we get in the top four and you keep Suarez, then... That's not just one, I think he's going to go bang bang with two 20 million players plus. And that's only the money that you're going to get from the revenue coming in, and that's why it's so important. If we don't get in the top four and all of a sudden he goes, what build up we've got to do again. It doesn't matter how much money you get. Look what happened to Tottenham Hotspur. You know, they got 100 million, you know, for Bale and whoever, and the balance it out, and you know, the shade of the team they were last year, aren't they?
Absolutely.
They went to the sales, didn't they, and bought all these players, and you know, without a plan of what they were trying to do, how they were going to fit them in, and they just bought a busload of players.
Yeah.
One of my friends actually say, you know, he's delighted that Tottenham are struggling at the moment. I don't mind Tottenham personally as a London club. But he said, because every player that we try to go and get, they try to scupper the deal. So instead of us having the players, they've got the players.
Yeah.
But now, some of the players they brought in, I think, are actually good. They're just, you know, they're a better team than what they're showing at the moment, aren't they, Tottenham?
Can I just say one thing about Tottenham? And again, it's maybe me thinking old-time football. If you've got a star player, we've got Suarez. We'd have been very disappointed if Suarez didn't line up for a kickoff. They've got this boy Townsend, who's been, the best English player of the season, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, on Radio City last Saturday, we were discussing the game, and I'm worrying about it, and I was asking a former Spurs player, how would you think we should deal with Townsend? Should we stand on his toes? Should we, you know, we do a double blank on him? And we're discussing all this. He doesn't even play him.
No.
He doesn't play him.
No.
And I thought, this manager doesn't know what he's doing.
Madness.
Honestly, that was before the game.
Yeah.
Here he's got a player who could cause us a lot of problems. Yeah. We'd all like that boy in the team. He's like Bailey, just gets it and runs and attacks you and goes. And he's sitting on the bench. Game, what was all that about?
I totally agree with you. It's unbelievable. It's just amazing. Because I think Townsend, you know, he's been the only plus point that's come from an England perspective for the last 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, when he's sitting on the bench, I thought, that's a bonus. Thank you very much.
But you asked the question, Aaron Lennon played in that position.
Yeah.
What did he do? What did Aaron Lennon do in the game?
He's been a good player. You know,
he has been a good player, John, but you can't keep Townsend out.
We defended. No, you're right, but you know, we defended. Even when Townsend, he did come on, didn't he? I didn't see him. He's supposed to come on. I think he came on, but he, you know, that's testament to our back four. We didn't see him, did we?
No. It's like.
Do you know, just a quick point before we finish. You know, you're mentioning about is Suarez the best? Is he better than Dalglish? I don't think that is a discussion that... I mean, fans have that discussion and they have favourites of various eras and all that, and it's very difficult to do. I mean, this boy at the moment is the best now. Kenny was, when he played, was the best then.
Yes.
And to put the comparisons up, I mean, he scores more goals than Kenny Dalglish.
Yeah.
He is a real world star. And, you know, I don't think people should... burden him with a, oh, I wonder, was he better than Kenny Dalglish? Yeah. You know, I don't think that that argument, that's one for a few pints, you know, on
that's
a Saturday
down,
night.
That's
yeah.
down the road, isn't it? That's for down the road in years ago. Yeah. I'm just a bit, little bit pissed off, really, because he just overtook my goals per game ratio, to be
oh,
fair.
John.
Than a bugger, yeah.
You're joking.
Yeah. You're joking. I know I had penalties and all yes, that, you know what I mean? But I can't sleep of a night.
I can't sleep because he's getting more money than I was. I was on 40 quid. I mean, we cannot live in the past either. We can talk about it, it's great to talk about, but the comparisons between the players of yesteryear and today, I really don't buy into that.
I'll tell you, Ian, if he stays 5 years, Suarez, he could become the greatest player.
Yeah, I agree.
He could become the greatest player that Liverpool have ever had. Because his goals record is fantastic. His work, I think, is unbelievable. Yeah, he could be, without a doubt. And again, it's right. It's unfair to compare that era with this era now. But some of the goals Suarez scores are just, unbelievable.
Blows you, doesn't it? Blows your mind. Yeah, fantastic. I just love to see him play.
Yeah,
and we've all played with great players. I think I played with great players.
Yeah,
and you'd think. He would have been great. He would have been great to play with in our team as well. Where would that have put us? And you would say, "Well, where would that have put us?"
Imagine him with some of the great teams we've had in the past. It's quite frightening, to be fair, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, because we had, in the '60s, '70s, and '80s, we had every player within the team was internationals. Yes. You know, world renowned players. You know, unfortunately, it's not like that at the moment. When you look at the side, I think that emphasises how good he's doing.
That's right.
You know, he's tremendous. Just different metal.
Can't wait for the World Cup.
No, we
talked.
Well, looking forward to the World Cup. I shall be there with my England flag. Scotland haven't bothered putting the team in this year at the World Cup. Talking about Suarez is called. What about Brendan? They're talking about Brendan going to be holding talks, re's contract. I think. What we've been saying about how well the team have been performing, I would assume that it's just, you know, that will happen, and they'll be delighted to keep him, and I think he'd be delighted to stay. But how do you see it?
On behalf of the ex-players, we're all behind him, aren't we? Yeah, we can see the job he's doing, you know, and not one of us have been critical of him. No, we don't agree with everything that the managers do. You know, we've all got our opinions with starting lineups and such, but I think Brendan's brilliant. The quality of football,
the brand of play is getting better and better. You can see it first year there, people a bit, you know, let's say uneasy about the system, but now they're getting used to it. And you know, I think his system is very, very good. I do like the whole thing about it. But I tell you what, at the end of the season, that's where you look at where Liverpool are.
I think he's doing a great
job. And if they're progressing all the time, then all well and good. At the moment, it's great.
I'll tell you one thing along that lines. One thing surprised me, like, you know, when the cops sing, you know, they hardly sing his name. I think, you know, it's not good. We love our managers, and this manager's doing a great job. They should sing his name more. He wants to feel wanted.
Yes.
Sing his name, never mind other manager's name in the past or whatever. Yeah. Sing your manager's name now. He's doing a great job for us, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's what you want, and it showed at Man United you want solidity. You want someone to be there all the time, you know. Manager, the longer the manager stays, the better the club becomes.
Absolutely.
You know, look what's happening now. The manager's getting sacked left, right, and centre. You know what I mean? Okay.
You can't believe it.
You're on a bad time. But he's done a terrific job, and long may it continue, Al.
Yeah. I mean, look at Wenger. Look, I know he's been there like 16, 17 years, but like, he was coming in for a lot of criticism last season. And all of a sudden now they're top of the league. Yeah. You know, he's like number one, he's brilliant and all that. Like, you know, listen, we're great with Brendan, he's doing a great job, and you know, he might look at the January transfer window, he might think, well, I might need this, I might need that, but for, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt and let him get on with it.
No, just before we finish, lads, a couple of promos here. Seemingly, the tickets are flying out. A Night with Jamie Carragher and Didi Haman. It's on February 27th in Dublin, John.
Shall we go and have a few pints again?
I think we could go over there.
Excuse me.
That would test my bladder, wouldn't it? Go over there. We won't get. We wouldn't get anywhere.
Yeah, we will.
We'll go. I mean, John. You know,
John can get anywhere.
John be in the back door.
Yeah.
The Star's entrance, the back door. So that'll be a good night. Jamie's now getting on the circuit, as it were. Would he been on talking?
Yeah, he's doing bits. Yeah, you know, he's this is his first one really. He's going to do, you know, and obviously his charity is connected with it as well. You know, I've worked with Diddy. He's funny. He's got some funny stories. Yeah. Obviously, Jamie's going to be intriguing to get the insight of what he's seen. It's not been told for the last 10 years or so. He's been at the club, so there'll be some real good questions you could ask him.
And how he gets on so well with Gary Neville, that'll be good, won't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Now they're big pals, aren't they?
Big mates,
you see. Yeah. You know, times change. As soon as you get the boots off. Yeah. But there's one in Oslo, March 26th to 27th. That's in Oslo and Bergen. McManaman's going, Fowler, and Jason McAteer.
No, you're joking.
Yeah, Jason.
Jason McAteer gets everywhere, doesn't he? He gets where water can't, Jason.
You can obviously find out all about that online at 5times.co. So that's 26, 27 in Oslo. I was in Oslo just the other week.
Yeah.
Just before it really got
I'm
cold.
I'm busy that weekend anyway.
Really
I'm
got cold.
Going. I'm not going
I'll
to
tell
watch
you it. What, I enjoyed it.
It's a great place.
I was in Stavanger. And then I was doing it. And these big pubs they've got, isn't it? That's where the supporters are.
It's a lovely place.
Isn't it lovely?
Until you get to the airport. I was in the airport 2 years ago. I ordered a pint of lager and a packet of crisp. It was €16.40. €16.40 for
you'd
a pint?
You'd get somebody else to pay. You would get somebody else. You would never.
You get bed and breakfast.
I enjoyed the crisp, though. They were cheesing me.
But they are so hospitable.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, they're lovely.
And I gather the big lad who runs the show over here, he was telling me they've got 40,000 members of the Liverpool supporters. Yeah. 40,000?
In Norway. Yeah.
I mean, teams in Britain don't have 40,000 with their own teams.
No.
We've got them in over there.
We have more than any other club.
In
including Manchester United and all that. We've got
they're
more
big fans, and they're very loyal
members.
They're very loyal. They get over here as much as possible. Like Ireland, I think Ireland, apart from the UK, Ireland's second, Norway's third with the amount of people we get. And you know what? The lengths these people will go to raise money, to get money to come and watch the team play, whether it be Liverpool or away, it astounds me. You know, the Norwegians and the Irish, they're great, great supporters, you know, they really are terrific.
That's why, John, we need a bigger stadium.
Absolutely.
We need to get this stadium
either
renovated to a 60,000 seat stadium or a brand new stadium in the park or whatever.
The sooner the better.
That should be number one a priority with our American owners. We're
still waiting, aren't we? You know, I think where the fans are concerned, there's always a lot of talk when we do the tours or whatever. People always ask you what's happening with the stadium, and I know you've got to be kept in limbo to a certain degree. But you know, we're all getting a little bit frustrated, aren't we? And I think what happened after the two clowns at us, you know, Hicks and Gillette, you know what I mean, about the spade going in the ground, and nothing ever happened. People are starting to get a little bit worried because they're not seeing nothing. But we know there's things going around the ground. There's people sizing up the ground. But I think the fans just need to know a little bit of an update now and again where they're up to, you know, because they're getting a little bit sceptical, aren't they?
I think it's called regeneration, okay? And it says the whole area is going to be regenerated and part of it will be, hopefully, you know, a revamped stadium.
I think before we go, it's only right that we pay our respects to Anne Williams. She got a fantastic award on the Sports Personality of the Year show from everyone in Britain. And it's great testimony to what the fighting spirit she showed on behalf of everyone, all the families who lost loved ones, and on behalf of the club. I think we should finish on the speech what Sue Johnson did in the show, which was quite apt. It was tremendous and very moving.
One spring morning, a 15-year-old lad left home to watch a football match. He said goodbye cheekily to his sister. He went to the newsagents where his mother was working. I hope they win for your son. No problem, Mum. 3-0. Kevin Williams never came home from Hillsborough. Neither did 95 other men, women and children. Who could ever hope to find the truth of what happened there? Nearly 2 years after the disaster and relying on evidence from police and pathologists, the coroner delivered a controversial verdict. Accidental deaths for the victims of Hillsborough. A verdict and a time. 3:15. By 3:15, he said, the victims were dead, or as good as. Nothing after that was relevant, he said. 3:15. A time set to draw a line under that dark day. But Anne discovered evidence to suggest that over half an hour later, Kevin still had a pulse. She was told by the policewoman in whose arms her son died that at around 4 o'clock he spoke a word, Mum. Kevin's mother, his mum, went after the truth. In Liverpool there were groups who would not give up. Anne was one of those who would not give up. She did it for her son, for the families of those who died, for the Liverpool fans who survived, fans who were blameless but blamed. Liverpool, a city united in pursuit of the truth. But it was elusive, this truth. She was told again and again that a new inquest was not in the interests of justice. She went to the European Court of Human Rights. Her application was out of time. Anne was running out of time. 21 years had passed. She was a grandmother now who wanted to know the truth. She did. Tirelessly, tenaciously, she carried on. But at last, the tides began to turn. A hunger for the truth was stirring. The Hillsborough Independent Panel was set up. And with the panel's findings, after 23 years, the stone wall of resistance fell. The verdicts of accidental death were quashed. New inquests were ordered for those who died at Hillsborough. Time did run out for Anne. On April the 18th this year, she died of cancer. Who could ever hope to find the truth? The fearless Anne Williams of Formby, who never heard the doors to the truth being shut in her face. What she heard was the last word of her dying son. Mum.